Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for March 6th, 2026. Today is Friday in the second week of Lent. This is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual or immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Now as a concession, not a command, I say this, I wish that all were as I myself am. But each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Here ends the reading. Every time I read the seventh chapter of 1 Corinthians, I have to wonder how such direct speech about what is often deemed private matters would go over in a 21st century mainline congregation. And yet, as I've been reminding us, since Paul believed the Christian community was constitutive, not additive, to one's salvation, all sorts of behaviors fell under the aegis of pastoral concern. In the fifth chapter, Paul called out the Corinthians' lack of discipline by allowing sexual immorality to remain in their midst. In the sixth chapter, he underscored the teaching that Christian freedom is best exemplified in restraint. And today, the apostle addresses another faction in the church. Over and against the group that would say, I am free so I can do whatever I want with my body, sexual or otherwise, apparently there was another group saying that the best way to avoid sexual sin was to avoid any contact whatsoever with a member of the opposite sex, including staying single. And in some ways, singlehood had been elevated to a particular height of spirituality. Paul gets into that argument as well, and we've just heard part of his response. As I was thinking about what to say on Paul's teaching here, I remembered a little essay by the late writer Frederick Buechner about sex, and I thought I'd share it here as a way for all of us to reflect upon the sacred gift that God has given humanity, a gift which so often goes awry. Here's Buechner. Contrary to Mrs. Grundy, sex is not sin. Contrary to Hugh Hefner, it's not salvation either. Like nitroglycerin, it can be used either to blow up bridges or heal hearts. At its roots, the hunger for food is the hunger for survival. At its roots, the hunger to know a person sexually is the hunger to know and be known by that person humanly. Food without nourishment doesn't fill the bill for long, and neither does sex without humanness. Adultery, promiscuity, masturbation, one appealing view is that anything goes as long as nobody gets hurt. The trouble is that human beings are so hopelessly psychosomatic in composition that whatever happens to the body also happens to the psyche, and vice versa. Who is to say who gets hurt and who doesn't get hurt and how? Maybe the injuries are all internal. Maybe it will be years before the x-rays show up anything. Maybe the only person who gets hurt is you. In practice, Jesus was notoriously soft on sexual misbehavior. Some of his best friends were hustlers. He saved the woman taken in adultery from stoning. He didn't tell the woman at the well that she ought to marry the man she was living with. Possibly he found their fresh-faced sensualities closer to loving God and humanity than the thin-lipped pieties of the Pharisees. Certainly he shared the Old Testament view that the body, in all its manifestations, was basically good because a good God made it. But Jesus also had some hard words to say about lust in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 28, and he told the adulterous woman to go and sin no more. When the force of a person's sexuality is centrifugal, pushing further and further away as one's psyche, the very ones being embraced as bodies, this sexuality is of the devil. When it is centripetal, when it is attractive, it is of God. Food for thought. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.